Tesla stock accelerated today, bringing the company over $1 trillion for the first time. Plus, why the State Department is making changes to tackle cybersecurity.
Ransomware continues to be sort of a national security issue for the Biden administration. They very much see attacks on critical infrastructure, whether they come from criminal groups in Russia or elsewhere, as sort of a huge 21st century problem that's likely only going to get worse unless serious steps are taken to address it.
And why squashing an invasive bug is a dilemma for some. It's Monday, October 25th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Tesla's share price surged today after Hertz announced it had ordered 100,000 of the electric cars for its rental fleet. The price jump lifted Tesla's valuation past the $1 trillion mark for the first time. The buying spree was just the latest good news for Tesla, which posted its third consecutive quarter of record sales last week. Tesla now joins Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, and Google parent Alphabet in the trillion-dollar club. Facebook was part of the group, but its share price has since retreated. Speaking of Facebook, whistleblower Frances Haugen testified before a UK parliamentary committee today, calling on lawmakers to pass legislation to regulate social media. In her testimony, Haugen said that Facebook should disclose what they're doing to curb misinformation and hate speech, saying that the company struggles to do so, especially in other languages and dialects, including British English.
There's no will at the top to make sure these systems are run in an adequately safe way. And I think until we bring in a counterweight, things will be operated for the shareholders' interest and not for the public interest.
A Facebook spokesman said the company has always had a commercial incentive to remove harmful content and has invested heavily to do so. He added that Facebook supports regulating the social media industry and is pleased that the British legislation is moving forward. Haugen is set to testify before the European Parliament in early November. Meanwhile, Facebook said it saw slower sales growth in the latest quarter. Reporting earnings after the bell, the company said Apple's new app privacy rules, which require apps to ask users whether they want to be tracked, is causing uncertainty. In the broader market, U.S. stocks rose today, with the Dow and the S&P 500 closing at new highs, topping records they hit just last week during a strong earnings season. Moderna says its COVID-19 vaccine was safe and produced a strong immune response in children ages 6 to 11 in a clinical trial. The company says it'll submit the interim results to health regulators in the U.S., Europe, and other countries. Moderna's vaccine is currently authorized in the U.S. for adults 18 and older, and regulators are evaluating it for kids 12 and up. And strong winds and heavy rain pummeled the Pacific Northwest and northern and central California this weekend and into today. Wall Street Journal breaking news reporter Allison Prang has more on the climate pattern and its devastation.
What we're seeing really impact the Pacific Northwest is the bomb cyclone. And that's just what's brought all of this heavy wind, and that's been an issue up there. California is really being impacted by this atmospheric river, which is bringing a lot of rain to a big part of the state. And as a result of these things, we've seen tens of thousands of power outages. We've seen flooding on roads. We've seen roads be closed. So there's a lot of issues happening here.
Prior to the flooding, California was experiencing a severe drought and active wildfire season. The governor's office set out dispatchers and rescue teams ahead of the storm and has urged residents to be on the lookout for potential flooding and mudslides in recently burned areas. Coming up, how the Biden administration is shoring up against cyber attacks.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Ransomware attacks, intellectual property theft, foreign election interference. These are all cybersecurity risks experts are trying to tackle. We've seen a few big attacks over the past few years, targeting everything from the federal government to meatpacking company JBS. This morning, we reported that according to Microsoft, the hackers behind the SolarWinds hack have been ramping up their attacks against big tech companies. All of this is posing a big challenge for the Biden administration. We report exclusively that the State Department plans to create a new cyber office to address the threat as part of a broader strategy to treat cybersecurity as a national security issue. Joining me now with more details is Wall Street Journal cybersecurity and intelligence reporter Dustin Volz. Hi, Dustin. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on.
So, Dustin, we've seen a series of cyber attacks just over the past year. Can you talk a bit more about what's prompting the State Department to take these steps now? Are they seeing cyber crimes as more of a threat to national security than previously?
Absolutely. I think that is basically the message that we're hearing from all corners of the Biden administration, really since President Biden took office, but especially ramping up, I would say, after this spring when we saw a spree of ransomware attacks, including, you know, the debilitating attack on Colonial Pipeline, which strained the fuel supplies on the East Coast for nearly a week, and a handful of other major high-profile attacks have sort of really driven home for senior Biden administration officials that cybersecurity is really a critical national security threat and one that they're going to have to continue to focus on in the years ahead, especially as China and Russia and others seek to use cyber for any means of geopolitical gain. The State Department here is announcing a new Bureau of Cyberspace and Digital Policy for the first time, having a Senate-confirmed ambassador at large to oversee that work. They also are going to announce a separate special envoy for critical and emergency technology, according to senior State Department officials that I spoke to. And these are sort of two steps that are sort of looking to expand the number of people at the State Department who focus on cybersecurity, but also to sort of, you know, create clearer lines of authority and different sort of houses of authority that are going to be reporting to Deputy Secretary of State Wendy Sherman, at least for the first year that this is being stood up.
Dustin, what kinds of cyber attacks is the U.S. most concerned about? Are there some primary focuses here?
Ransomware continues to be sort of a national security issue for the Biden administration. They very much see attacks on critical infrastructure, whether they come from criminal groups in Russia or elsewhere, as sort of a huge 21st century problem that's likely only going to get worse unless serious steps are taken to address it. And so the State Department actions coming later this week are designed in part to deal with ransomware, but really to sort of deal with all sorts of international engagement, whether it's with Moscow or Beijing or other nations, trying to deter them from doing activity that the U.S. believes is squarely out of bounds of what should be acceptable cyber behavior. A big part of this is also sort of working with allies in the international community to develop standards on digital policy and cybersecurity. And also another part of this is digital freedom, working with allies in all of those areas to push back against sort of the Chinese or Russian influence on the internet. And that's going to be sort of a big priority of the State Department going forward. You saw just a couple of weeks ago, the Biden administration hosted 30 countries actually to sort of discuss cybersecurity priorities, including ransomware. And that sort of activity, that sort of summit is going to be very much what this new Bureau of Cyberspace and Digital Policy is focused on.
As you mentioned, this is part of broader efforts the Biden administration is taking to address cyber threats. Can you explain how the latest step at the State Department fits into that broader picture?
Yeah, so this, you know, follows in a number of steps already taken by the administration earlier this year to sort of increase the number of boots on the ground, so to speak, dealing with cybersecurity. The first and foremost one right out of the gate was the Biden administration naming the first ever Deputy National Security Advisor at the White House National Security Council, Ann Neuberger, to oversee cybersecurity issues. That was followed by the naming of the first ever National Cyber Director, Chris Inglis, with his own dedicated staff of up to 75 people. Also reporting out of the White House, more recently, you've seen the Justice Department launch new teams dedicated to dealing with ransomware prosecutions and pursuing cryptocurrency hackers that use cryptocurrency to profit in their attacks. And so this is sort of coming on the heels of all of those bureaucratic changes. And, you know, the past three presidential administrations have really tried to rejigger things at the State Department as it relates to cybersecurity. You know, those have been met with middling success. I think most current and former officials would agree with that. And sort of the steps here are in many ways the sort of most strident yet being taken of any administration, you know, really committing to enhancing the number of people that are going to be dedicated to these issues. And also sort of really in some ways, you know, moving away from some of the steps taken under the Trump administration, where you saw sort of either a demotion or entire removal of certain cybersecurity positions, either at the White House or in some of the various agencies. So this really is sort of a big step forward in terms of, you know, committing more resources to the problem. There are concerns about how bureaucratically this will work out and whether or not there are going to be logistical headaches along the way. But this is sort of a very new approach for the State Department that we are going to see in the weeks and months ahead.
That's Wall Street Journal cybersecurity and intelligence reporter Dustin Volz. Dustin, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me on.
And finally, bugs aren't for everyone. But Marisa Curis has a 3-year-old son who loves insects. That's why it was especially hard for her when they found a particularly pretty bug, the spotted lanternfly, with black spots on its outer wings and brighter red ones underneath.
When my son got home, we were observing it for a long time. And then I'm like, well, we have to smush it now. And I brought out a shoe.
But she had to do it. The lanternfly is an invasive species. And experts say it's spread to nearly a dozen states since it first appeared in Pennsylvania in 2014. Jessica Ware, associate curator of invertebrate zoology at the American Museum of Natural History, says the spotted lanternfly's unchecked spread is a real issue for native trees and plants.
They're basically like drinking syrup for their daily routine. And so their excrement is just sugar, right? It's called honeydew. And that sugar, as they're kind of, they call it rain, right? Honeydew rain. That basically makes a sticky solution that can coat the leaves and branches and base of trees and grapes and what have you. And then the sooty kind of fungus, mildew fungus, can grow on it. And that actually can kill the plant. The bigger issue is this kind of fungus that can grow. And that would be devastation. That would be economic devastation.
For more on the spotted lanternfly, check out my story on WSJ.com. And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.